Hi.
Hey, Fresh Life. So glad to have you in our church campuses and network sites, especially if you are new. Thanks for being here. We are in Canada preparing for night number two of our Skull Church Canadian invasion. I lost my voice and am resting it until I preach in a couple hours. I will rely on technology and my wife to communicate for me. Yes, I know I have a women's voice. Don't judge me. Seriously though, how awesome is it that we have computers and cameras and the internet and robotic voices to use to get the gospel out? It is powerful and I believe we will be held accountable for whether or not we use it. As the great theologian Spider-Man put it, with great power comes great responsibility. Before Jenny introduces our guest speaker this weekend, I wanted to tell you that we are starting a brand new series on marriage beginning September 12th and 13th, so save the date. Also, next weekend is the last weekend of Through the Eyes of a Lion. Don't miss it. Seriously, it's going to be awesome. Jenny, take it from here.
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, this weekend we are in for a real treat as we welcome Pastor Ed Young to the Fresh Life House. And Pastor Ed and Lisa Young are tremendous leaders who pastor a fellowship church in Dallas, Texas. They have a huge church across the Dallas area, in Miami, Florida, in London, England, and they're just such sweet people. We love them so much. We're so thankful for their leadership in our lives and our family and in this church. And they also came up with the C3 Conference, which is an amazing resource conference for pastors and leaders all over the country, equipping them to lead and love and pastor and everything. And so this next coming up year in 2016, they're having my husband come preach. Oh no. Oh no! And everything's all right. As well, Pastor Ed has written numerous amounts of books, and one, most recently being 50 Shades of They, which is all about having the right people in your lives. And so, Fresh Life on Your Feet, it's a great book. Fresh Life on Your Feet, and please welcome Pastor Ed Young.
Wow! Woo. It is great to be here at Fresh Life. Please be seated just for a couple of moments. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan of Levi and Jenny. They're absolutely amazing. They're family. And I'm telling you, what's happening here, as you know, is abnormal. This is ridiculous what God is doing right here. And just to be a part of it, man, this is pretty incredible. Well, this is my first time to be in Montana. What a beautiful place. Everyone has been so friendly, and it's really, really a blessing. I want to welcome, though, all of the different environments, different campuses at Fresh Life Church, and have them right here, the campus locations. Kalispell. Yeah. Kalispell, how are you guys doing? And I love this, Whitefish. Whitefish, Montana. Missoula. Yes. Billings. Bozeman. And the network sites. Polson. I think Johnny Cash back in the day. Stuck in Polson prison. That's Folsom. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was joking. Helena. Helena. All right. So the network sites are dialed in. The campus locations are dialed in. I have this cool black handkerchief. Let's do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Isn't that right? How many fly fishermen do we have here? Fly fishermen in the house. Yeah. I fly fish. How about just fishermen? When I say fishermen, I mean fishermen being whether you're a man, woman. Yeah, okay. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Yeah, Lisa is, yeah. Fishing is a biblical sport. Did you know that? It really is. I'm not going to talk about fishing. I just know that fishing is huge here, and it's gorgeous. And one time I'm going to fish here in Montana. Well, I want to ask you a question, and this is kind of where I'm going. I want to ask you just a question between you and me. This goes for everyone here. When I throw out the word revenge... Revenge. What do you think about? Maybe I should say, who do you think about? Revenge. Who is that person, you know, you would like to get back. You're like, I'm going to make them pay. It might be a parent. Maybe it's some sort of a relative. Maybe it's someone who took advantage of you. Maybe a coach, a teacher, a former partner in a business venture who ripped you off. Who is that person right now? You're okay, you've got that name, that face, and you're like, I'm waiting at the right time. I'm going to give them a facial. It's going to be so cool. They're going to need to have cucumbers over their eyes. I'm going to put it in their grill, in their face. I can't wait. I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to get that sweet revenge. Let's just say it. Sweet revenge. 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 I had the opportunity to grow up in a pastor's home. I'm a pastor's kid. I fell in love with the game of basketball when I was really young, and I played basketball a lot, and I was pretty good. Before my senior year at my high school, I was picked one of the top 10 recruits in the state of Texas. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, you know, I was playing basketball in Texas, and my coach, this guy was an absolute world-class card-carrying jerk. That's being nice. I thought my career, you know, your senior year, you've got to have a good senior year to really go to an HNL, a whole nother level, right? And I had a tough situation with my coach. The coach treated me unfairly. He was abusive, mean. I had to stop playing in the middle of my senior year. I'm saying to myself, my dreams are dashed. Full scholarship, down the toilet, you know? Well, a few colleges still were interested, so I ended up getting a scholarship, a full ride to Florida State University. I thought to myself, okay, when my coach finds out that I have a full ride to FSU, woo, man, gonna get him back. He will say, oh, I feel so bad, man. Ed got revenge on me. I thought that would happen. I'm not even sure if the guy even knew I was playing for Florida State. Well, I came back after my freshman year. I had a great freshman year at Florida State. I averaged 0.5 points per game. I really played well. I led the nation in scoring, warm-up scoring, 72.8 points per game. So I did not have a stellar year. I didn't even letter as a full scholarship athlete. That summer I played and played and played and practiced and practiced and practiced. And my sophomore year, wow, I began to play better. And I found out through the grapevine that my high school coach knew I was playing at Florida State. Before we played Auburn University, my coach walked in and said, Ed, you're going to start this game. I'm like, what? I'm starting. I mean, I didn't say it. I'm like, yeah, all right. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Oh, my gosh, you know. So I thought, all right, I'm going to truly get my coach back. Sweet revenge. When they call my name out over the loudspeaker, the starting lineup for the Florida State Seminoles, I guarantee it. It's just going to be seen on ESPN or something, some channel. My coach is going to be watching this card-carrying jerk, and it's just going to be the worst day of his life. Now let's meet the Florida State Seminoles, starting at guard. Number 12, 172-pound sophomore, Ed Young. I remember running out on the court. Thank you. Tube socks, shorty shorts. And I was thinking, this is it? I mean, this, Ed, you worried about this guy, you trained for this guy, you thought about this guy, and this is like your sweet revenge that he knows you're starting one game. And then I thought to myself, wow, I've wasted a lot of time, energy, and effort trying to get back at someone who probably has forgotten about the whole situation. That story means a lot to me because it showed me God allowed me to have that opportunity to know that revenge just ain't worth it. Revenge is not sweet. It's not. It's not. So think about that person again. Maybe it's a coach. I don't know. Maybe it's someone else. You're waiting, though, to get that revenge. Revenge is not sweet. It's bitter. It's bitter. Now let's go back for a second. A couple thousand years. A couple of guys are going to work. They're working at a vineyard. And they cut through a little path by two mansions. And one sees this sight that absolutely freaks him out. He sees someone hanging from gallows that were 75 feet high. The body is billowing in the breeze. And this guy's like, whoa! And he looks at his friend. He goes, look at that! That's our prime minister, Haman! 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 The toast of the town, Haman! The man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, Haman! Hung on the gallows he built for someone else. And let me read the chilling words of Esther. It's over in the Old Testament. Esther chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Now, these names are interesting. These names are unique. There are four major names I'm going to unpack. You've got Esther, a true biblical babe, a holy hottie, right? Esther. I'll talk to you about her in a second. You got King Xerxes. Did anybody see the movie 300? You know that crazy McCray king? That's the same king we're talking about right now, King Xerxes. Then we've got Haman, and I call him Haman. Say it with me. Haman. You got Haman, and you got Mordecai. Four people, and we're going to see what revenge does to someone. Because what if Haman could talk to us? What if Haman were here? What would he say about that sweet revenge? I don't think he would say it's sweet brown sugar, would he? He'd say it's U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, ugly. Now, don't get me reciting Cheers. When you sit the bench as long as I did, my freshman year, I've memorized every cheer known to man. You name it. You name a subject. That's another message. I have a message, Levi, called Church Cheers. Have you heard it? I need to bring that back. I just thought about it the other day. I love it. Anyway, so these people see this body and they're freaked out. Well, what happened? I mean, really, let's just, and here's what I love about the Bible. The Bible allows us to press the rewind button and go back. I'm talking about back, and to press the fast forward button. We can see what an attitude will do, what will happen in a person's life, how it will play out. So that way, as we're dealing with revenge, we can read the book of Esther and go, woohoo, man, I'm not sure I want that sweet revenge. I'm not sure I want to give her or him a facial where they need some cucumbers. Do you get it in your face? Get it? I think that's kind of funny. I do. I really like that. Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully after our time together, we're going to be like, man, I'm going to stay the heck away from revenge, because I'll be honest, I love revenge. They're people. Every time I do this message, I think about people. I want to get back. But let's just wait for a second. Now, King Xerxes. King Xerxes threw an incredible party for his friends. He wanted his wife, Vashti, to dance for his friends. He said, come on, baby. Put on a sexy outfit. And dance. Watch me whip. Watch me nanny. Watch me whip. Whip. Watch me nanny. That's what I want you to do. And she's like, you've got to be smoking something. I'm not going to do that. Boom. Vashti was gone. Probably she hung from the gallows. These people were freaks back then. So they had this big beauty contest. Now, press the pause button. The pause button just for a second. You got to realize God's people
were in bondage, right? They would go through this spin cycle of sin, and the Assyrians had them down, you know. So the Jews, God's people, were in a tight situation. Anytime you read the word Jew in Esther, it means one who bows to Jehovah, a Jew. One who what? Bows to Jehovah, right? Right, okay. So they had this big beauty contest because they wanted someone to be the queen. And this Jewish girl, no one knew she was Jewish, Esther, she won this beauty contest. Now, in the meantime, Esther's parents had been tragically killed, so her 100-year-old cousin, Mordecai, basket by Mordecai Jones, Mordecai was her foster father. So she became queen. Mordecai had just a low-paying governmental job, and his office is right by the city gates. For some reason, now we don't know why, a couple of palace plotters were talking trash about King Xerxes. Remember, when you're carrying the ball, people are going to try to tackle you. You're going to have haters out there. People just slurping that haterade. So a couple of these guys, some of his trusted friends, his confidants, they set forth an assassination attempt. Whoa, Ed, this is brutal. I mean, you're talking about people hanging. Now you're talking about assassination attempt. Well, it's the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is rated R. So these guys were going to assassinate King Xerxes. We have assassination attempts happening all the time here. Here. Right here. In beautiful Montana, big sky country. What do you mean? Social media. I mean, I talked to so many young people. People assassinating them at their schools. Talk to pastors, leaders, those who run businesses, athletes. People assassinating. Come up with all these plots to go after them. Mordecai hears about it, and the Bible says, and this is one of the first time texting was mentioned. Read it in Scripture. He texted to Esther. Esther, tell King Xerxes this assassination attempt is on its way. So she told him the assassination attempt was thwarted. Now, let's go back to Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can check it out. If not, you can follow along with View a Verse. Esther chapter 2, verse 22. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were hanged on the gallows. I'm telling you, they were hanging people left and right, weren't they? Hanged on a gallows. All this was recorded. Say it with me. Recorded. Right. Recorded in the book of annals in the presence of the king. Then the Bible says, after this assassination attempt was thwarted, you know what Mordecai did, the Bible said? He just went right back to work. He wasn't like, I'm the man! Woo! He didn't like do some email blast, or he didn't go on out of Periscope or whatever. Yeah, look at me. I, me. Yeah, Mordecai. Yeah, I'm the... He didn't. I was at a basketball game a couple of years ago, sitting down, saw this player. I'm like, man, this guy's a great player. He's 15 years old. And I'm looking at the guy beside me. I'm like, wait a minute. You look like an older version of him.
I'm his dad.
You're kidding me. You must have your son like in AAU, Nike camps. I mean, this guy's going to be all that. His dad said, no, if you're great, they'll find you.
Rolls Royces don't advertise. Have you ever seen like a Rolls Royce ad campaign? Not really. Brought to you by Rolls Royce.
No, a Rolls is a Rolls. It just So turn to somebody and say, you're a Rolls, man, at all the campuses. The network campuses, you're a Rolls. Yeah, we're a Rolls. We're made in the image of our great God. If God wants you somewhere, he'll take you to that place. Now, Mordecai could have said, man, I'm back at the job. I'm back at the city gates. I mean, when will God reward me? When will God bless me? Here's a little thing I want you to write down. God promises to reward good works, yet so often, students, listen to me, young people, listen to me, so often we feel the payoff is too far away. Why should I live for God now? Let me sow my wild oats and pray for a crop failure. You know, I'm young. I can turn to God later. Listen to me. I became a believer as a young guy. I involved myself in the house of God. Church attendance was not an option. I remember crying, and my friends aren't there, mom and dad. We're the parents. You're going to church. And I'm glad they did. Now, parents, if your kids are ever rebellious, I hear sometimes kids are, just become a hip-hop artist. Just say, I'm the parent. I'm legit. There's no use arguing. You might as well quit. You can roll your eyes and say it's not fair. You're telling God you really don't care. So do what I say all the time. Then your life will have serious rhyme all the time. Peace of mind. Once they're on their own, if they don't want to go to church, that's fine. I'm thankful my parents took me to church. I received Christ. I never went through some, you know, crazy McCray's life where, you know, I was snorting this and chasing that and crazy. And hey, it's awesome when people come to Christ who've had a very colorful background. I'm all about that. In their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Praise God. Praise God. But what I want to argue is this. Make the decision, young people, when you're a young people. Make it now. The other side ain't worth it. It's not worth it, man. It's like people go, well, I want my freedom. I want complete freedom. And we shake our puny fist in the face of God. And we chase this and that. Pleasure, power, possessions, whatever. What's so ironic is the things we chase in our freedom away from God end up incarcerating us. So just run on the track that God has for you. We're designed to do that. And that's uber freedom. That's the kind of freedom God has. So young people, make your choice now. I remember back in junior high school, back in high school, I didn't get invited to all the parties. I didn't have all the friends, didn't have all the dates, didn't have all the this and the that and the whatever, even though I played sports. I knew back then it was the Holy Spirit of God directing me to the right they, 50 Shades of They, pick it up at your local bookstores. And I would not be where I am today, not that I'm anything, but I mean, I would not be here on this stage had I not made the decision to follow Jesus as a young guy, and I would have missed out on the greatest ride out there. So give your life to Christ now. I mean, can you imagine a train? What if a train said, hey, I want ultimate freedom? It would jump off the track. It would go for a little while, then you'd have a train wreck. Uber freedom, not that cool word, Uber freedom, is living for the Lord. I kind of went off a little bit, but I think you're feeling me, aren't you? You're feeling me. Mordecai knew the blessings were coming. Here's something else I want you to write down. Don't let the desire for approval drive you to immorality. In other words, if you want to be in the in crowd, I got to be in the in crowd. You're signing up for insecurity. Hey, what do you mean? That didn't make sense in the story. Oh, yeah, it does. Because for some reason, Xerxes gives Haman this promotion. Haman now is like right next to King Xerxes. So he's walking out and everybody's hitting the deck. They're bowing. Remember that? They're bowing to, hey, man. They're like, hey, man, hit the deck. Hey, man, is in town. Hey, man, is in the rolls. Hit the deck. Hit the deck. Because back in the day, if you were royalty, people treated you like deity. Hit the deck. Hit the deck. But our boy Mordecai was like, no. I only bow to the Lord. So he didn't bow down. He bowed out. Let's go back, young people. Even those of us in our 40s and 50s. Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of us here. Many times we're going to have to bow out because we're not bowing down. Bow out of situations. God always works through a remnant. A remnant is a small group of people. So you go to your school, you're like, man, I'm the only one there. There's only a couple of people. No. I'm telling you, God will give you the ability to in love. And sometimes you'll have haters. Just you're not bowing down to that. You're bowing out. You're bowing out because you're bowing down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has a better agenda and a better plan for you. Well, hey, man, had it going. Toast of the town. He had it going. And guess what? Some people came to him and said, hey, there's one guy that's not bowing down to you. There's just one guy. Mordecai. One guy. Mordecai. One guy. Mordecai. Here's something else to write down. One thing can ruin everything. One guy. Mordecai. Mordecai's like, I don't get revenge. And here, I mean, Mordecai was awesome. Haman was, you know, wheels off. But he let revenge spoil and singe his life. I like it. The singe of revenge. You know, rhyming is anointed. You know, the singe. You know why I rhyme so much, Levi? People, you know, kept me around because I love rhyming. On the dime, yours and mine, peace of mind, all that. I love rhyming. My mother read to me so many nursery rhymes when I was a kid. I think I just can't get it out. So I used to be a little shy about rhyming, but I'm like, that's who I am. Now, many times, those who are close to me will go, Ed, you're rhyming a little bit too much, and I'll back off. So I like that. Mordecai is the guy. So do you have a Mordecai in your life? You're like, okay. And when I was a kid growing up, Canton, North Carolina, population 7,000. I remember first grade. We got to recess. You know, in your first grade, you're just like, you know, And we had like 28 students. And everybody liked me except one girl. She didn't like me. I remember when I was a little kid, I'm like, this girl doesn't like me. So I thought to myself, I am going to make her like me. I don't mean boyfriend, girlfriend. I just mean, you know, I'm going to get her to like me. So I remember wasting a 1 week trying to get into her world. And yeah, monkey bars, you know, jumping rope, out skipping. She didn't like me. So I wasted a lot of time trying to get one person who didn't like me to like me. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Hey, man, don't waste your time. Hey, man, you got the world by the tail. You're worried about one person? One person? One tweet? One negative? Yeah, or what? Yeah, one. Yeah, and it can mess us up, and it can keep us from the kind of life that God wants. So don't rehearse it. Don't nurse it. And don't curse it. So I'm telling you, it's rhyming. The whole industry of hip-hop is built on rhyme. Yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to get off on rhyming. I just love rhyming. I just do. It's just great. So our boy bowed out. He's the man of God, Mordecai. So when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, are you ready for this? He was enraged. You realize anger is a secondary emotion? See, he didn't want to feel insecure. He didn't want to feel that one person on the playground didn't like him. So what did he do?
He was enraged. And the guy went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He needed to go to the Ha Ha House because he said, I'm going to kill. I'm going to have Mordecai killed. And he's a Jew. I'm going to have all the Jews exterminated. That's nuts. Revenge will drive you nuts. You're not truly believe. I heard someone say this one time. This is so true. And hear me. I'll tell you who said it. Adrian Rogers, the late, great Adrian Rogers said, if Jesus is not Lord of someone's life, they have a form of insanity. Isn't that a brilliant line? That's so true. Am I the only one? I look around our world and go, man, our world's crazy. I did a series one time called Crazy Pill. All the crazy people in the Bible. It's one of my favorite series. There's so many crazy people in the Bible and also in my life. That's okay. He would not kneel down or pay honor to him. So, you know, having learned who Mordecai's people were, verse 6 says, he looked for a way to destroy the Jews. Well, he thinks about King Xerxes. You know what Haman was? Haman was a climber. You know people who were climbers? They use you like you're rung on a ladder. You know, when they're talking to you, they're always looking to improve their conversational position, someone else. Or maybe you say something, they're always one-upping you, you know, or whatever. Just those people who are climbers. So Haman was a climber. I'll get in tight with King Xerxes, and now I'm going to, you know, when he's like, you know, doing this and a little bit out there, I'm going to ask him if I can kill all the Jews. And guess what? Xerxes goes, oh, yeah, Haman, it's cool, man. You kill all the Jews. He didn't even know what a Jew was. Here's my ring, set forth an edict. And the Bible says in Esther, I'm not going to read it all. It says a text, I promise you, was sent out across the land. The Jews are gone. Now, this is heavy because think, Jesus, years later, Jew, and the whole, this is heavy. So Mordecai to the rescue. Mordecai. Basket by Mordecai Jones. Mordecai picked it up. He's like, I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to do something. Too often we sit back and don't do jack, right? Where we should attack. Here's something else to write down. Notice this. In this whole craziness, God is in control. God's sovereign, God's in control. But Mordecai and Esther, we're going to find out, had to act. God chooses to work through those willing to act. Levi said it in his brilliant comments during worship. When we get to heaven, God's going to look at us and go, oh yeah, you're in heaven. But what did you do with what I gave you? Because here's the key to the Christian life. See, people try to make it complex. Spiritual depth is not complex. Here's the key to the Christian life. Are you ready? You become a Christian. Okay, it's by grace, right? Through faith. But then here it is. A-C-T-I-O-N. Action, action. God wants action. Apply what God says. It's obedience. A-C-T-I-O-N. I got another funny cheer, too. This makes no sense about the message, but I just thought about it. My grandmother, you know, I'm from the dirty South, the dirty, dirty. Those of us who are in the hip-hop industry like I am, we call it the dirty, dirty. And my grandmother taught me this cheer. I love this cheer. This has nothing to do with the message, okay? Here's how it goes. Once I heard my grandma say, the Laurel team is coming this way with a Vivo, with a Vivo, with a Vivo, Vivo, Vumbo, and a Riptail, Raptail sitting on a cattail, bum, bum, bum. What's the matter with that team that they can't see, that they can't play as well as we, with a Vivo, with a Vivo, with a Vivo, Vivo, Vumbo, and a Riptail, Raptail sitting on a cattail, bum, bum, bum. Once I heard my grandma say, Fresh Life Church is coming this away. Slap somebody in. Yeah. Anyway, that was Bishop Jakes for a second. Anyway, it's getting wild in here. But if you're like me, I rehearse these revenge speeches
Do you ever rehearse revenge speeches where I'm going to be the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, come in and I'm going to tell him off? This person that left Fellowship Church, this person who hurt me, this trusted person who's trying to assassinate me, and I'm going to come through and like, everybody be like, Ed, you're the man. We all, don't we? We all do that. Well, man, this edict is sent around. It's serious stuff, man. The Jews are going to be wiped out. Wipe out? Does someone say wipe out? Does someone say a drum solo is in order? Have you ever heard of wipe out before, the drum solo? How many people like to hear me play wipe out? Okay. That's what Haman wanted Xerxes to play on God's people. No way. Esther heard about it through Mordecai, and here is the deal. Esther had to walk into the king's Oval Office and tell him, I can't have any of this. You're going to kill me, have me killed, I'm a Jew, and kill all of my people? This ain't going to happen. Well, back in the day, ladies, how many of you are married? You're married, okay. In this situation, marital situation, it was marital mayhem. If Esther walked into King Xerxes' office and he was in a bad mood, on the gallows. It was that crazy. So Mordecai said, Esther, you've got to do this. Esther, you are God's girl. Oh, another point of application. Don't worry about those opportunities you don't have. Take advantage of the opportunities right in front of your grill. Right in front of your face. Isn't that so tempting? I mean, I come up here. Seriously, Montana? What? How beautiful. Have you ever seen Dallas? Why didn't God call me here? We started our church in Irving, Texas. Maybe God said Irvine. I just didn't hear him. I don't know, but we all are like that. If I had that, if I was in that family, oh, yeah. I mean, if I had the opportunity like Levi or this person, up, hey, don't worry about that. You can't stress over that. Take advantage of the opportunities in front of your face. That's what Esther did. She walked into the office, and here's what she said, famous verse, if I perish, I perish. She walked in, and she walked in. The Bible says she put on a beautiful outfit, walked in. The king could have put her on the gallows, walked into his Oval Office. And guys, husbands, tell me this ain't true. When you talk, this is a biological fact. When you talk to your wife, you don't talk in your normal tone. You talk higher, so do I. Think about it. Hey, baby. How are you doing, Lisa? I don't say, hi, Lisa, how are you doing? We talk like this. So King Xerxes, this big, bad, crazy guy, was like, hey, baby. What do you need? Guys, this will really help you out. I like to joke around a lot. I know it's a shocker. And guys, we joke, and we don't laugh at the same thing that women laugh at. It's just we have different humor. You know that. Well, sometimes if you're like joking around or making sound effects or kind of joking your spouse, just a little bit, you know, and you can tell it's not really working, guys, that she's like getting, you know, a little bit, you know, just a little bit. Here's what to do. Just throw up your hands and you got to get your voice real high and say, haven't you heard of a joke? That will diffuse a lot of marital conflict. So guys, let's do it together. One, two, three. Haven't you heard of a joke? Yeah. Okay. Here's another one that works. Do you want to go shopping? So... Oh, it's funny. But King Xerxes is like, what do you want? She goes, Esther goes, I want to have a banquet. I want to invite Haman. Because, see, she knew. She knew. So Haman's so excited. The edict has gone out. The Jews are going to be killed. Everything is fine and dandy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Wow, talking about a great verse, A-C-T-I-O-N. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That word bitter, the bit of a horse, controls the horse, right? And don't let that bitterness control you. Horse, put that in your frontal lobe. Say horse with me. Horse, yeah, horse. Okay. So the edict goes out, and the banquet is set up, and this is so funny. Haman is so excited. Hey, man, he thinks it is on like Donkey Kong, man. He's like, this is the best. I'm the man. The Jews will be killed. Mordecai is going to hang from the gallows. So he goes home. And he is a walking, talking example of the wrong they. That's why I wrote 50 Shades of They. T-H-E-Y. Give me a T.
T.
The right they are tough. Give me an H.
They're
honest. Give me an E.
E.
They're encouraging. Give me a Y.
Y.
They're yielded to God and to your friendship. Here's the problem, though. Haman was so insecure, he compared himself to the wrong they. And when you compare yourself, young people, to the wrong they, you become one of them. Conversely, as you know Christ, as you belong to the house, as your best friends are the right they, your primary props come from God, and your secondary props come from the right they who point you back to God. So that's the problem here. That's why this guy was so jacked up, insecure. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I've got to do this to be in the in crowd, or I can't do that. And so much of what we do, students, on social media is just due to insecurity. It's the fear of being left out. Got to understand this. When it comes to social media, and I love it. I love it. Follow me on social media. I love it. Social media, though, if you're not careful, can become a tail. And that tail is affixed to a pit bull. You know what I'm saying? So you got to watch it. You got to watch it. It's highlight real living. Whenever I go on Instagram, that's not someone's real life. I'm just showing the best. And then when I show a photo of our church, we might have a small crowd, but I'll make that crowd look like it's, 20,000. I think you feel me. So our boy goes back to the wrong day, and he's happy and peppy and bursting with love. Esther chapter 5, verse 9 says, Haman went out that day happy, and of course Mordecai did not bow down again, and he was filled with rage again. So he called together his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Oh, there's a name. Pit viper. Man. So he starts boasting. And sometimes, don't you want to do this to certain people that boast? And they're successful. You're like, hey, dude, you don't have to brag, man. You're awesome. Sometimes I read about people, if I ever saw certain celebrities, I would just go and hug them. Hey, man, you matter to God, and you're amazing. You know what? You're a celebrity yourself, so you don't have to post all this stuff about how great you are. Really, just Rolls Royces don't have to advertise. But see, when we're away from God, when we don't know God, we have a form of insanity. So hey, man, is going crazy. He's promoting and talking about his vast wealth. The test is not failure, it's success. The test is not when you're climbing the ladder, it's when you're at the top of the ladder. You got to watch out. So here's another rhyme, another outline. Elevation leads to humiliation. Humiliation leads to devastation. If you elevate yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to be humiliated, and it will lead to devastation. Some of the time, no, all of the time. I tell our worship team, I tell myself, when God walks off the stage, pride walks on. I'm just prancing in my pride. Yeah. Woo. Okay, so he's telling all the people about all the stuff and this and that, and he, now he's talking about the party. Oh, I'm the only one invited. The queen invited me to this party. He's dropping names. One time I was with a name dropper, Levi. This is pretty funny. And this guy was dropping so many names, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to bring up random subjects and see if he can bring it back to himself. I brought up, like, aluminum siding. Yeah, well, I even met the guy that invented that. Like, gosh. One-upman. Any one-upman? You know some one-upman? Hey, I just got back, girl, from a cruise to Cancun. Well, we were just on a private yacht for 2 months in the Greek Isles. I'm here, you're there. So let someone, you know what a true friend is? You celebrate their blessings. I can identify with your sufferings, but I have a hard time when you're blessed. So our boy couldn't do it, man. He could not do it. So he has this idea. Man, I'm gonna kill the Jews. And then his wife says, hey, build gallows, honey, 75 feet high. Have them built. Hey, man, build some gallows, and you can hang Mordecai from it. Tomorrow morning, go to the king's office, ask for permission to have him hung. So he's like, I'm going to do it. He goes to bed. Hey, man, goes to bed. In the meantime, you don't believe this stuff. King Xerxes can't sleep. So he brings in people to read to him. Not nursery rhymes. But remember earlier, the king's annals. And they read to King Xerxes how Mordecai saved the day. The king's like, whoa, did we honor him? Surely we did. I told you to go to Naaman's and buy. We did. What? What? We're going to honor him tomorrow. So the next morning, bing, bong, bing, bong, bong, bing, bong, bing. There's Haman. The security cameras are on him. He's with the king's favorite espresso drink. The king lets him in, and he's getting ready to ask for Mordecai's body to be hung on the gallows he had built, and he begins to get into his speech, and the king goes, stop! In the name of love, there's a hero in the house, and this hero is amazing. And hey, man, what would you do for this hero? And Haman's like, oh, I'm the man. Oh, I'd bring out the royal horse, the royal Rolls Royce. I would bring in Ryan Seacrest to MC this ticker tape parade. I would lead the person around on a horse. And oh, yeah, oh, that's great. Hey, man, because the hero is Mordecai. I'm telling you, revenge doesn't work. Mordecai eating humble pie. The Bible says Mordecai had on a hoodie. I promise you. Said it covered. He covered his head with the hood and led Mordecai around as Ryan Seacrest was talking about how great he was. Well, they go to the banquet that night. Steak and lobster. They're eating. The hoodie's still on. And it's hey man, and the biblical babe Esther, and King Xerxes, and Esther points to hey man, and she goes, honey, hey man is the man. He's trying to kill me and Mordecai, who saved your life, and the Jews. Revenge, the singe. Of revenge. It doesn't work. And Proverbs 26:27 says, if a man digs a pit, he'll fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. God has an amazing record for making evil plans backfire on the planners. Revenge, give it to God. Revenge, give it to God. Revenge, give that person to God. Because if you don't, you'll burn up time, you'll waste energy, and you'll miss this incredible life that the Lord has planned for you. Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message. Your word is so amazing. I thank you for this phenomenal church. I thank you for the different locations, whether you're in Kalispell, Whitefish, Missoula, Billings, Bozeman, Polson, Helena, wherever you are. I know, because I deal with it, everybody does, that you're dealing with that singe of revenge. You want to get the person back. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's time for us to be and to learn from Mordecai. It's time for us to learn from the book of Esther. It's time, God, for us to learn from your word. Just think about Jesus. Think about him. Think about him. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to ask the precious Holy Spirit to give us the strength, the octane, the guts to just give the person to God, to just release the person, just to release it. Don't worry about that person, their response, their reaction. This is for you and for your freedom. So God, I thank you for a church like this. I thank you for its pastors. I thank you for Levi. And I pray if there's someone here who's never, ever, ever acquiesced and given their life to you, I pray that today you would make that choice and that step. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this message at Fresh Life Church. My name is Raul, and I'm one of the campus pastors here at Fresh Life. We're so stoked that you joined us. Now, if you're listening to this message and you think to yourself, man, I need to give my life to Christ, well, we want to give you that opportunity. You can click on the button called Know God at FreshLifeChurch.com. First off, greatest decision you've ever made. But click that button, Know God, and we'll send you some resources like a Bible, a message, and some things to encourage you on your decision to follow Christ. Also, while listening to this message, if you're encouraged or something welled up inside of you, you want to get it out and let us know about it, we would love to hear that story. You can share that story at, well, share your story button at FreshLifeChurch.com. It will encourage us to continue to do what we do here at Fresh Life. Also, if you would like to partner financially above and beyond what you give to your local church and partner with us to see the gospel go out over the airwaves all across this country, click the Give button at FreshLifeChurch.com, and it'll launch a secure giving page, and you can partner with us right there. Well, thank you so much for joining us at Fresh Life. God bless, and we'll see you next time.